Welcome to episode 284 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or you're just tuning in, we're happy that you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, and Twitter. My name is Donna, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Lindsay, George, Sandy, and Elizabeth. And we are excited this week to welcome back to the podcast, Robbie Hamida, who was our guest way back in episode 189. Robbie is the Senior Vice President of Nexion, a fully licensed, bonded, and accredited host agency with operations in both the United States and Canada. Nexion LLC supports more than 4,000 independent leisure and corporate travel professionals and is a branch of the TZL Travel Group, a travel leaders company. Among those 4,000 agents are the agents of Outlander Travel. As Senior Vice President, Robbie is responsible for overseeing operations within the company, which include customer-facing as well as behind-the-scenes segments of the business. It is his ultimate vision that all agents, regardless of working location, are available and to provide complete end-to-end travel experiences for their customers. We welcome his experience here today, and we chat about how COVID-19 has changed the world in general, and the world of travel in particular, and what things might look like as we try to get back to normal. So let's get started. Yay, Robbie!
Yay, Robbie!
Happy to be here.
So just to correct, it's Nexion Travel Group, correct?
It is. Nexion Travel Group, okay. A branch of Zelle.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
Well, I'm happy to be here. I love my bio more than I actually love the truth of what I actually do.
We totally made that up. Totally. So what is it that you actually do? You open the mail.
Yes, right? Yes. In the current situation, I do a lot of things I never thought I would be doing. So I get to brave and open mail. I get to, the biggest thing is being a support network for the rest of my coworkers, which is awesome.
Yes. Yes. Well, and we appreciate you too. Although we are not technically coworkers, we work with you and we appreciate that. Sometimes we work against you, but we try to work with
That's
you.
That's always a good thing.
So let's just start by, maybe we can round robin and talk about what we've already lost this year. So Robbie, have you lost any trips this year?
Robbie's lost a lot of trips this year. And for those that know Robbie, does not make Robbie very happy. And Robbie.
So, it makes him start talking in the third person.
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually, even my very last trip before all this started, actually I even had to cut short. I was actually in Japan for my birthday. I do an annual trip every year for my birthday, and this year I decided to do something really fun and go somewhere new, and after being there for 2 days, I had to turn around and come home before they shut the border down. So I flew back in early March, and I've been home ever since. I landed back on March 5th, and I've been in quarantine ever since that day. But
so that's like 6 weeks.
It's been 6 weeks, and there'll be another two or three or possibly six, so we'll see how long it lasts. But no, I've had to cancel quite a many trips. I actually should be in Vancouver right now. And then actually I would be flying to Newark for what would have been an event tomorrow, which is not happening, obviously. But I've had trips canceled to, let's go down the list, Hawaii, Marshall Islands, Guam, Tokyo, Melbourne, Sydney, LA, Moscow, the one in Idaho, Chicago, New York, Frankfurt, Prague, San Francisco, Newark, Miami, Orlando. But I think the biggest bummer for me was I had tickets to the Olympics this year, and obviously that has canceled.
Does that transfer to next year?
They're going to move all of our tickets because they kept the same schedule. They're just going to pick up our tickets and move them to the events that we had tickets for next year. But now I get to go through the whole fun again of trying to find decently priced hotels and airline tickets for next year, because that was fun.
That'll be easy.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, lots of travel agents that can help.
I do.
I have a question about that list, Robbie. Does that take you through like the whole year, or what month was that? Like that's a-
what month was that?
That was April 30th.
Wow.
Yeah, I've canceled 17 trips. By April 30th, two of them were May. I was supposed to go to Australia May 14th, and I was supposed to go to, where else was I going? Somewhere else at the end of May. But everything is, it is what it is. We go with the flow.
So with that travel schedule, have you actually ever been home for 6 weeks in a row?
Never.
Ever?
Never. Wow. Never. I'm finding all these new things. You know, they say when you really look at the back of your hand, you notice things you've never noticed before. That's me in my house. I'm noticing like cracks on the walls and, parts where the carpet doesn't have enough padding. And
we're like, what's this light switch do?
We still don't know. I don't think I've touched all of them yet.
Well, have you found the hidden room yet? That's why. We have this whole room. I had no idea. That would be great. That would be great. So then clearly you're really sad about this, as we all are. So I'd be interested just to hear what is your prediction? Like, what do you think will change immediately and then sort of past that?
I still think it's still too early to know. And I think a lot of that's being driven by, we still don't have a lot of information on what is going on, or the accuracy of that information. I think one of the things that has made things very difficult for us here in the US is the lack of testing, which, still today, it's still very hard to get a test, here in Texas and a few other places where people are having to line up and still not able to get tested. So we really don't know the full impact. We really don't know what the numbers really are. So we really are just guessing where we think things will plateau and when things will be clear. Right now it's just a guessing game. And because, we're such a large country that covers a lot of space, because everyone's on different timelines, just here in Texas alone, I'm in Dallas County, who has one set of rules until May 30th. Neighboring counties have lesser restrictions or longer restrictions. And just in a 200-mile radius, there's 10 sets of rules, which doesn't help things along because it doesn't really give you a good picture of what's happening. So really right now, everything is really just a guessing game. This is, the only people that are going to win in the situation are the manufacturers of crystal balls.
And toilet paper.
Yes. And yeast. Lots of yeast.
And Zoom. And Zoom.
Yes. Yes.
Although Zoom has certainly seen its challenges over this last month or so, yes. Too. So I guess there's no test like this for sure. So let's talk about the first thing, planes. I mean, first of all, we all sort of imagine, I think everybody in this room remembers 9/11 when all the planes like stopped flying, but that's not actually what's happening here. It's not like there are no flights. Is that correct?
Correct. There are lots of flights. If you pull up a map right now of all the planes over the US, you will see quite a bit of them.
But I hear they're almost empty, most of them.
It is. It's very interesting. Right now in the US, there are only airlines averaging about 14% load factor right now. 14%. It's scary how many people are actually flying. A lot of them are due to restrictions like we are right now here in Dallas, where we have a stay-at-home order. So we can't go anywhere. We're not allowed to by law. So that's obviously not helping anybody. Cities like New York, LA have basically ceased much of their air service. But a lot of what is flying right now is well-needed cargo. And a lot of airlines, Delta, United, are using a lot of their big international planes to fly cargo all around the world, getting things like masks and sanitizer and to the medical field around the globe, which is great.
I hadn't even thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So I'd be curious, a lot of people say, well, planes are like the easiest place to get sick because everybody's coughing on you or everybody's sneezing on you and they're not really well cleaned. But I'm hearing that there's a lot of sanitation going on and even more so than normal. Can you talk about any of what the airlines are doing to make sure people who are flying are healthy?
Yeah. It's funny. I always laugh at that. You probably have a higher chance of getting sick at Burning Man than you do on a plane. No offense to those that like Burning Man, but
well, to be fair, Burning Man is quite a bit more intimate.
But you know, it's interesting because one of the things the CDC did very early on is obviously airlines already had very stringent cleaning procedures. You know, when a plane would park overnight, you know, in a city instead of between flights. But when the CDC came out with a bunch of rules for airlines, the types of chemicals they should be using, how to deal with sick passengers on board, and what to do if somebody's sick on board, which to me is one of the most important things. They looked at the chemicals they use. They looked at, you know, things that you don't even think about, like coming down the aisle with coffee and refilling a cup. There's no more refilling of cups. It's basically the rules that you would have at a buffet right now. You know, don't use your same plate twice when you go back to the buffet. So we're seeing airlines do that, and they're using all these newfangled modern ways to clean, you know, high powered heat steam cleaning, you know, entire aircraft every night when they park, between flights, wiping down the entire airplane, triple wiping down if somebody was thought to possibly be sick. If that person went to the bathrooms, you know, taking off door panels and making sure every nook and cranny gets cleaned. So they've really stepped up how they clean the airplane to make sure the planes are safe for everybody on board. You know, but there's always that one factor. You can't stop somebody from getting on who's sick, but now the CDC is kind of allowing the airlines to go, you don't look that great, you can't fly. And I think that's one thing airlines really needed the power to do that they didn't have until now.
Do you feel like that some of this might actually rub off into the future, that they're going to take a little longer time in between flights to get those airplanes a little cleaner?
I think they will.
As well as like the cruise lines and all, that they take a little bit more time just to really scrub things down.
I think with the airlines, they will. And I think a lot of that's driven more by, you know, as things ramp back up, as things get back to normal, they're going to have that time between flights. Because let's face it, we've been so fortunate in this country to have so many options for flights. And a lot of that is using a limited number of airplanes and limited number of landing slots to turn those planes around faster, which gave us all these great options. But as things ramp back up, there will be more time between flights. And I think that might be one of the changes that we'll see is, you know, how much turnaround time a plane will need at a gate to do those things. Time will tell.
But some of them are really fast, all things considered. I mean, we don't have like high powered steam cleaners or these fogging systems that they have. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would argue that some of those planes are probably cleaner than my house.
Yep. That's the
in much faster time.
Yeah, no offense to your house. There is
my house can take it.
But one of the great things when something like this happens is it does give everybody time to take a step back, double focus on everything. It's probably one of the safest times to go anywhere if we actually could.
That's what my thought was. It's like, hey, yeah. You know,
But you know,
go on a plane where there's only like 10 people on there
who are all sitting 6 feet apart. And that's the other thing the airlines did too, is because of social distancing, planes are not allowed to be full right now. Even there's one, I'm a total aviation geek and I'm self-admitted, and I'm glad there's no 12-step program for it, because one of the coolest things I'm getting to watch right now is all the repatriation flights. There are some really cool flights right now from places. Yesterday, a flight flew from Montevideo, Uruguay to Melbourne, Australia. It was one of the longest flights on an A340 aircraft to take home a bunch of Australians that were on a cruise ship that was docked in Montevideo for weeks, waiting to get cleared because of COVID. And we've seen flights of, you know, multiple 747s flying people from Madrid to the Philippines. We've seen just all these strange flights. Lufthansa, there are something like 10,000 Germans that are stuck in New Zealand, and Lufthansa is flying these massive double-decker jumbo jets through Bangkok from Germany to Christchurch in Auckland to bring these people back home. And they can't, even though those planes can hold 500 people, they're only putting like 200 on board to keep everybody spread apart. So they're flying these massive jumbo jets. But of course, they're also filling those planes with lots of cargo that needs to get to New Zealand from Germany and vice versa.
Who's paying for those? Like, are the people paying to fly home, or are their governments sending them? Or
most of the repatriation flights are either paid for by the governments or by the customers and or travel insurance. But, you know, many countries, even like here in the US, if you register, let's say you're trapped in Ecuador, you are, just as an example, you go to the STEP website for the government and you register and say, I need help getting out of here. And the government will figure out a way to get you out. And when they do, they'll let you know when the plane will be going and where to be to leave. And many countries have similar programs. Either you apply at their embassy, their consulate, or they have similar websites that we have in the US.
But that's not instantaneous. Like, you apply for that, but it could still be weeks.
Could still be weeks. Yep. But at least they know you're there and they won't leave you behind if there is a flight out.
Well, my cousin was saying that he was going to go visit his brother. He lives in California. His brother lives in Texas. And I was like, really? You can just do that? So are there restrictions right now? Can you just go if you want to?
Yeah, you can still fly if you want to. There's still no restrictions unless you live in a place that has a restriction. So, like, for example, here in Dallas County, unless you are deemed critical, you are technically supposed to stay at home and not go anywhere until we're released on April 30th. So it depends where you are. Some cities are on full lockdown. Some are on a stay-at-home order. Some are in a stay-in-place order, you know, which are a little bit different. Like we're allowed to go to the grocery store. We're allowed to go pick up prescriptions. But, like, I can't go out just to go out. Like, if I drove to a big park in downtown Dallas, I could be arrested.
Wow.
But you can also go to the office, right? Because you're deemed the essential person at the office.
Yeah, for certain business functions. And obviously for our agents, getting the commissions out of the mailbox and getting them deposited is a critical function.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
We love you, Robbie. There's not many of them, so we need them. Yes, it's important.
I had I just had this come up with a client about quarantining too. If you are able to get on that plane and go to another state, depending on their regulations, she had a relative that passed and she would have needed to been quarantined for 2 weeks.
Yes. Coming back. If I fly to Chicago to visit my family, I would have to stay in place at my parents' house for 14 days before I can turn around and come home. And then when I arrive back at home, if we're still on restrictions, I would have to wait here for 14 more days. That's the thing. I have friends in Australia. The reason the Australia trip canceled is they're basically on a 14-day mandatory. If I get to my hotel, I can't leave my hotel room for 14 days under penalty of law.
One of my tiki friends is stuck in New Zealand in a quarantine.
Yeah, and I've done that. I've done the quarantine thing. It was interesting because I got back, like I said, I got back from Japan on March 5th, and I was on a two-week quarantine because I had been in Asia, because Asia is just a city, you know, based on some people's maps.
It's a little place.
I was actually in Fukuoka, Japan. And they had zero cases when I was there, but apparently I was still in Asia, so I was high risk. And so I was already on a mandatory two-week self-quarantine by law, even though it was still self-quarantine, because I got back from Asia. But ironically, the day that ended was the day Dallas went on quarantine. So I'm just never going to get out of my house.
The mayor was like, that Robbie, he's going to love this.
It was St. Patrick's Day, too. They pulled that. I was like, really? Like, come on. But at least here in Texas, like other states, liquor stores are essential businesses. So we're doing good.
Well, in North Carolina, they're owned by the state. And so the state's not going to give that up.
Yeah.
Well, and they actually do a lot of good
drive-through. You have drive-through margarita places
we
in Texas,
do.
Too. I miss
we
those.
We sure do. And actually, one thing they changed here in Texas, which is very cool, is they can actually deliver liquor. So if you do buy tacos, you can actually have the margarita come with it. And they're giving you these little baby, little tequila bottles and little baby bags of mixes and everything. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Nice.
Are they going to come back and refill my chips?
That they probably won't do.
Giving bag.
Yeah. So, Robbie, you mentioned cruises. I feel like we need to discuss the cruise industry.
Yeah.
So, and I know from the agent side, I think we can all say we hear both sides, but we hear people who are like, I will never get on a cruise ship. Oh my gosh, what a terrible situation. To when can I get back on a cruise ship?
What are the sales card? Because we know they're going to be cheap.
Yeah, there's going to be some great deals. Yes. So tell us about the cruise industry and, you know, is it viable? A lot of our clients too are saying, oh, but they might not be in business tomorrow. So talk about that a little bit.
So, I really don't see a big difference in the cruise industry and the airline industry at this point. You know, obviously they're both ships. Airlines are called ships. You know, airplanes are ships. Ships are ships. You know, I go back to the I don't know answer. You know, it's, I think time will tell as well. One of the things, you know, right now, airplanes are parked all over the world on runways. Ships aren't so easy just to kind of throw somewhere. There's only so many docks and so many piers you can put a ship, especially of the size of some of the ships are. And a lot of the ships are literally just out there floating. Some are docked, some are anchored. All around the U.S., on the East, West Coast, Florida, there's some off of Guam, and there's some off of Australia. They're everywhere. The current passenger ships are literally everywhere, all over the world. And I really think, you know, cruises right now are getting a really bad rap, and it's really not their fault. One of the things, you know, there's always that argument, you know, guns aren't evil. It's the people who own the guns that are mm-hmm. evil. It's kind of the same. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, cruise ships are going to make me sick. Cruise ships don't make people sick. You know, sick people who know that they're sick, who get on cruise ships, get other people sick. I mean, because they want to hide it. And that is really hard to change. The thing about this coronavirus, which is very interesting, people can have it and not know they have it. So those people, I'll cut them some slack. But what really bothers me is some of these people were blatantly sick when they boarded, you know, these airplanes and these. I mean, look at that guy that boarded the JetBlue flight from New York to Florida, went and got a coronavirus test, knew he was sick, was waiting for the results, still flew to Florida, found out on the flight that he was positive. You know, so people are the problem. So we can't blame this inanimate object of a cruise ship, you know, for what's going on. And I really feel that the CDC and are really giving them a hard time, which is really unfair, because cruises are amazing. It's, you get on this beautiful floating hotel. It takes you from place to place. You're in one country one day, you're in another country the next day. You're meeting all these great people. You're eating all this great food. You know, they need to come back, and they need to come back fast. But right now these ships are literally just doing shippy things, and they're just kind of out floating. Some of them are doing great things as well. Some of them are being used as, you know, floating temporary hotels. There is like some crazy number, like 80 or 800, I forgot what number was, 1,000 crew sitting on all these vessels right now that are trying to get home, because as these ships are getting parked, what's happening is because nobody will let them dock and nobody will
and
let
anybody
off.
And liquor laws.
Even though a lot of passengers have been taken off these ships, they've left the crew on these ships, and these crews need to get home. A couple cruise lines did some amazing things. They're taking some of these ships thousands and tens of thousands of miles out of their way to get these people home to their countries. So there's literally ships going around now taking people back home of their crew, so their crews can get home to their family. Even though it's probably costing these cruise lines a fortune to do that, but it's a,
yeah, because that's not a small, like, that's fuel and like that's
and
big cost
and days and days. I mean, think about how long it would take a cruise ship to get from Florida, you know, to Thailand or Florida to India. But the cruise lines have really, really stepped up, and you know, they're getting all their people home, which is very sweet.
I always feel like cruise ships are, you know, very clean, and you can see them doing stuff. Like, they always got that kind of bad rap that you might get sick or whatever. And I just never really thought that was fair at all. But I don't know. I'm not going to be scared to cruise. I'm very anxious, actually, and just booked one last week. And I'm hoping that it goes in August, because I personally had to cancel 3 cruises this year. And that sucks.
Yeah.
That really.
But you're right. You're right, Sandy. I mean, that's one of the great things about cruises have always been really good about sanitation. You walk into a buffet, they're there spraying you down with sanitizer. They've put sinks in everywhere. There's constant encouragement to do things they taught you in kindergarten, like wash your hands. But cruise ships, more than anybody, have done a phenomenal job at sanitation. Have you ever not seen a person cleaning something on a cruise ship? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're always cleaning. It's always true. And they've always done that.
It's probably cleaner than my house.
Yeah, I will say that. I guarantee it's cleaner than my house.
Well, and I mean, so we all know that 80% of statistics are all made up on the spot, but from the number of cruise lines and cruise ships, I should say, that were out there, there was a very small number affected by actual coronavirus versus the number of cruise ships out there. Am I correct in that? Yes. Or am I just not aware of facts?
No, you are. I mean,
like very small.
Yep. And you know, I think what happened was there was one big one, and that was obviously the Diamond Princess in Japan. And then, you know, that was kind of the first one, and nobody really knew what to do at the beginning. And everyone did everything right, as they, you know, they thought they were at the time with everything that we knew. But obviously with that, and then a couple other ships had one or two or three people. You know, there are a couple out there now with 40, but obviously you put a bunch of people on a ship and you don't let them get off and you don't test them and you don't give them any help. You know, obviously those things are going to happen, but there are probably more people that got it from that birthday party in Chicago that infected basically the entire city than all the cruise ships combined.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, it's so hard when something is so unknown. And I think it goes back to that, which I think I actually want cross-stitched on a pillow. People are the problem, because that really is, you know, in every situation, even with these cruise ships that couldn't dock, there's, you know, I couldn't have been the only person who was sitting there going, what is wrong with you people? There's people on this ship. Like, they have to get off the ship. You can't just say, no.
I think
like,
you can't
do that to people.
I just think the crew is not, they're not infectious disease experts, and they're not trained to, I mean, they do a good job of cleaning and stuff, but there's these issues of cross-contamination and wearing masks, and we're not supposed to touch the mask. And, you know, like, there's all these things we've learned. And like the Diamond Princess, they didn't really know that. Those were not the people. They should have had hazmat people in there telling them what to do or showing them, and there should have been more care. But
yeah, and again, that was very early on in all this, before really a lot of people knew much of anything. I mean, that was going on while I was there in Japan. And, you know, I thought everybody was doing the right thing for what we knew at the time. Obviously, we're only as competent as we know what we're told at that moment in time. But, you know, like, we didn't know things at that time, that coronavirus was more easily transmittable than the common cold, you know, or the flu, or so these were things that we learned, you know, as things have gone on and as more information has come out about things. But yeah, I agree. I mean, but it's not even the cruise ships. We don't even let our service members off, you know, military ships. I mean, they're off the coast of Guam, still being forced to be on a ship when there's plenty of empty hotels right now that we can move them to for 14 days. So we don't infect them more. We're not at war. We shouldn't treat our crews of our cruise ships or our servicemen this way. They should be given safe passage to, you know, a hotel until they are cleared to go.
Do you know anything about the state of the cruise industry? I've seen a lot of memes where people angrily say they don't want to bail out the cruise industry because their flags are not, like, they don't flag their ships in America. They make it sound like it's a big tax haven. I know there's other laws that come into play for why they actually don't flag them in the United States, but do you have any opinions on that?
Robbie never has opinions.
Robbie expresses the opinions that are his own, but let's, but yes, I got to put a disclaimer on this one. So, like many people who have marriages of convenience, cruise ships have flags of convenience, and you know, and basically this is not new at all. But you know, there are places like, you know, Panama, Liberia, Bermuda, Malta, you know, that allow these cruise ships and, you know, steamer ships to register And most of them can do it online without ever stepping foot in there. It's like getting a North Dakota license plate in Cabo, Mexico. You just go to a website and, you know, plates show up at your house. No insurance, no nothing. And a lot of this is, it's not a big secret. And you can Google it and figure out. It's obviously, it's most of it's around money, you know, being flagged somewhere else other than the U.S. You know, there are certain, you know, you don't have to pay minimum wage to your workers. You don't have to, you know, follow certain safety restrictions of the U.S. You follow the restrictions of the country you are in, which are usually a little bit more lenient. Obviously, our ships have very stringent security policies. That's why there's tons of security guards all over every ship. So, you know, it's all smoke and mirrors a little bit. Liquor laws too.
Yeah, the liquor laws.
Yeah, yes. Gaming. I mean, there's a lot of fun things. But what's really interesting is most of this started in the 1800s. So, you know, it's the tale as old as time. You know, when we look at the Merchant Marine Act of the U.S. But it's really fun. This year is kind of an epic year because on June 5th this year, what's called the Merchant Marine Act or the Jones Act, as most people call it, will be 100 years old this year. So the law started in 1920, and basically what it said was all ships, and it was mostly for back then, obviously it was 1920, it was cargo, but most goods that were being moved around the U.S. had to move between U.S. ports on U.S.-built ships with U.S. crews, and there were all these wacko rules that were great in 1920. They served a need in 1920, and most of that in 1920 was because of prohibition. It's funny how these laws come out of something of the time. But, you know, 50 years ago, they tried to get rid of this law back in the 70s. And I think they've even tried again recently to get rid of the Merchant Marine Act and the Jones Act. But I mean, it's 100 years old now. Nothing makes sense from 100 years ago. It's pretty much time for the Jones Act to say adios.
Can you talk just a little bit more about the Jones Act and what it actually means? Because that affects our Alaska season.
It does. So what it means is any ship, I'm trying to find the right word to use, but basically any ship that's moving between two U.S. ports with either goods aboard or souls aboard, as with a cruise ship, can't go from two U.S. ports and allow people to get off. So you can't run a cruise ship from San Diego to San Francisco and let people off. You can go San Diego to San Francisco, you can stop there, but everybody has to get back on. And then you have to go to a foreign port after that, like Vancouver, because you have to touch a foreign port. Otherwise, you're in violation of the Jones Act. So for the Alaska cruise season, a lot of those cruises start in Vancouver and head up to Alaska, or they start in Seattle. They will stop somewhere like Vancouver or a similar foreign port and then continue to head up the coast to get to Alaska. So they've satisfied the Jones Act by stopping in that one foreign port. That's, that's the piece that we hope will change. And, you know, even if it changes temporarily to let the Alaska season start, but a lot of it will depend, obviously, of where we are, you know, in the next several weeks with, how people are feeling.
And where Alaska is too. But the initial, you know, I think I had clients who were like, well, why can't I just go from Seattle to Anchorage? And you're like, well, it's complicated.
Yes, let's go back to 1920 so I can explain a law. Let's ask Al Capone what he thinks.
Well, Robbie, how did they get around that with the cruise ship in Hawaii?
So the cruise ship in Hawaii was flagged in the U.S.
The only one.
Gotcha. Yes. Okay.
So it was U.S. crew. Yep. Minimum wage.
And it actually operates, I mean, it's Norwegian Cruise Line, but it actually operates as its own. It's like NCL America or whatever, right?
Yes.
It's own.
It was its own brand. I think there's only.
Because I know you couldn't get the liquor. You couldn't get the liquor packages.
Yep. There was liquor packages. There was no casino on board. There were several things. And I know there was, I don't know if they're still doing it, but there was one ship that did Hawaii, but one day it went down to Kiribati and then came back and did the other islands to satisfy the Jones Act.
Yeah.
Yep.
Makes things interesting for sure.
It does.
So before we go, I want to talk about Mexico a little bit and the all-inclusives in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Can you talk about sort of how they've been affected by this and whether you think, you know, what are they doing right now? How are they surviving this? And will they come back?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. So there is one thing that makes me laugh a lot is we have this schedule that we do every year of what are we going to say bad about some destination? So generally spring break, it's that you're going to get murdered if you go here. And then we get into summer and it's, if you go to this island, you're going to drown. And we have, it's every year, it's the same travel warnings. And every year the media blows it completely out of proportion. And we're like, oh Lord, here we go again. But here's the reality. Last year for certain destinations was a bit of a bad year. Mexico was hurting because there was some bad news earlier in the year. A place like Dominican Republic then took the torch in the summer and ran with it with that, you know, bit of overrun, overzealous news. That was mostly just a lot of bad media and a lot of false news. But what was interesting is a lot of these hotels, you know, Sandals is an example in the Caribbean, has shuttered most of their properties till May 15th. A lot of these hotels were already hurting because they were still starting to recover. And it's funny, when all this all started, all this coronavirus stuff, you know, in February, March, the Caribbean was doing really good because everyone was going there to get away and there weren't a lot of cases and there weren't a lot of problems. Obviously, we're now at global pandemic problems, but back then they were. So a lot of the resorts have either reduced what they're offering. Many have closed down certain towers. Some have shut down completely until a few things start to recover, until people can start flying again. Once people can start traveling, once the airlines add back service to some of these cities, you know, we'll see people returning to some of these places. But again, as mentioned earlier, a lot of it will depend on the restrictions that are in place from the people where they're coming and where they're going, because no one wants to go somewhere and be told you can't leave your hotel room for 2 weeks. No one's going to want it. That's not a vacation for anybody.
No.
Well, I mean, and even if the resorts are open, sometimes you can't get in and out of these countries because the country has actually made restrictions. Yep.
And
there were people who intentionally stranded themselves in some of these places. They're like, well, if I'm going to be quarantined, I'm going to, you know, might as well be quarantined in the Dominican Republic. And they're like, oh, nothing's open. You know, everything had to shut down. So
yeah, and that's,
it's a bit of a dice roll.
It is. And that's why I left Japan early back in March, is what I was finding was the government on my flight to Japan is when the government restriction went into effect, where the government closed everything for 2 weeks in the whole country. So all my plans, every museum I was going to, every theme park, gone. Everything was forcibly shut down by the government. So it got to the point where I'm here, I'm spending money on a hotel that I'm being asked not to leave my room as much as possible. And, you know, it's like, well, kind of a waste of money. I'm just going to go home. I mean, it's, what else am I going to do? But that is one of the things. I know one of my favorite hotels is in Tokyo in Shinjuku, which is the Hyatt Regency. Beautiful hotel. Incredible chandeliers. They have weddings in the lobby. So I've crashed so many weddings on a Sunday when I'm leaving. So great. I've been in like 20 weddings in Japan with people I don't even know that just happened to be in the lobby.
I'm sure they would never know.
So, but they sent out an email today because I'm on their list because I'm there so much. And, you know, they pointed out today that, hey, we've closed everything in the hotel. No weddings, no bridal suites, the cafe's open for 4 hours a day, dessert bars closed, bars are closed, and the shuttle to and from the train station is closed. So if you come here, that's it. We'll give you coffee for 4 hours in the morning and you're on your own.
And a place to sleep.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it. So we're seeing a lot of that.
Well, wonderful. Well, that's our show for this week, and we want to thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page, and you can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. So a huge thanks to Robbie. Yay! For hanging out with us tonight and helping us sort through all of this craziness. On behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, George, Lindsay, and myself, Donna, we want to thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.